Risk-neutral probabilities, as you can see, are going to be an important idea here. We're going to need to be able to figure out what they are. The most elementary question you could think of, it seems to me, about risk-neutral probabilities as a practical matter is, do they exist? If they don't exist, there's not much point in worrying about calculating them. Right? The first thing a mathematician asks is, does a particular entity that he's thinking about exist? You've got three equations in here. We need to be able to solve those for those unknowns and get an answer. Imagine that I had a fourth equation here, and it was independent of these. So I had four equations and three unknowns. Well, there's no solution in that case. If you have four different equations and three unknowns, you might find solutions to three of the unknowns that satisfy the first three equations, but they wouldn't satisfy the fourth. So in that case, we would say risk-neutral probabilities do not exist. Okay. So the first theorem says the conditions under which they exist. And they exist, and this is the link between risk-neutral probabilities and what goes above, if and only if there are no riskless arbitrage opportunities. So I've written programs that look at derivative prices and try to figure out what the risk-neutral probabilities are that can explain those prices. The very first thing I do is I check those prices to see to it that there are no riskless arbitrage opportunities. And if there aren't, then I ask my computer to go the next step to calculate these risk-neutral probabilities because I know they're going to exist. This is an if and only if condition. Now, the text tries to give you some sense for why this might be true, and I'm going to just give you an intuition for it here. Suppose that when you go to the supermarket is selling you apples and oranges in these baskets. One basket has a certain number of apples, a certain number of oranges, and the other basket has a certain number of apples, different. And there are different prices for the two baskets. Imagine also that you can buy and sell the baskets from the supermarket. The supermarket is also willing to let you construct your own basket, and it'll actually buy them from you as well. You can sell a basket to the supermarket that you bring in. As long as it has the same composition as one of its baskets, it'll buy it from you at the same price it's willing to sell it to you. Well, maybe you can sort of sense that if there were just two baskets with apples and oranges, there wouldn't be a way for you to sort of steal money from the supermarket. You can think of it as if the supermarket has a certain price for the apples and a certain price for the oranges. And based on those two prices, it had constructed the prices of these two baskets. There's not going to be any inconsistency. There's two baskets, two prices for the apples and the oranges, and so there's going to be two prices that will explain the prices of those two baskets. But if the supermarket had three baskets, then that might not be true. It may be the supermarket made a mistake in pricing the third basket and has priced it so that the implicit prices that you would have derived by looking at the first two baskets give you a different value to the third basket than the supermarket is selling it for. Well, now what you can do is you can create the third basket out of the first two by buying maybe two of the first basket and selling one of the second basket, etc. That portfolio of baskets will have the same content as the third basket. But if the implicit prices of the apples and oranges are not just right, you might be able to create the basket yourself at a different price than the third basket than the supermarket is selling it for. Maybe you can kind of sense this. If you can do that, then you can steal money from the supermarket. If you can create a basket more cheaply out of those two than the third one, what would you do? You go to the supermarket, you'd buy a whole bunch of the first two baskets. Then you repackage them to create the third basket, turn around, and sell it back to the supermarket at the higher price that it has in the third basket. You can see that for there to be no riskless arbitrage opportunities in the supermarket, the implicit prices on the apples and oranges in each of those three baskets really need to be the same. So there's, in effect, no way for you to take the first two baskets and form a third basket, which will then cost more or less than the price that the supermarket it has on the third basket. All that can be formalized by equations and certain numbers of unknowns, and whether you can solve the equations or not tells you whether or not there are riskless arbitrage opportunities. Naturally, you look at the Black-Scholes formula, it is going to only work if there are no riskless arbitrage opportunities. It uses risk-neutral probabilities, but those probabilities won't make any sense at all if there are risk-neutral arbitrage opportunities to begin with.